Daily Follower, we just thank you so much for another time to read your word, more opportunities to be encouraged to read your word. And Lord, we pray that the outcome of all of this would be a generation of people who want to know you more, who want to be intimately close to you, and who want to read your word consistently and frequently and in large quantities, Lord, desire to know you more, just desire to be closer to you. Really, Lord, that's really all I want, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us, encourage us, and inspire us to be diligent and consistent readers and consumers of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom and discernment to understand it more and more. And Lord, may the word not be the thing we look to, but may it be the thing that points us to you, Lord. I don't know if it's possible that scripture becomes an idol, but Lord, if it is, then Lord, I pray that we would be guarded from that, and that we would truly just seek to know you more and understand that the word is your word. We thank you, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. That was an interesting prayer. I never really thought about does the word become an idol? Is it possible that you idolize the Bible so much that you neglect the promptings of the Spirit? But is that possible because God is consistent? I don't know. Something. And if you guys are tuning in for the first time, this is something I proclaim frequently. I don't know all of the Bible. I am a simple layman. I am not a pastor. All I really am trying to do is encourage everybody to read the Bible, and so that we can read it together and we can all grow together. So we are following along in the Machane Bible reading plan. Every Saturday, I will upload an episode where I pick one passage that was interesting to me or spoke profoundly to me throughout the week. Sometimes it's really hard to pick just one. I think this previous week is an example of that, but something I wanted to point out and read to you guys and talk about was from, let's see what day it was from. From December 4th. December 4th is 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Everyone knows John 3:16, but not a lot of people know 1 John 3:16, which I think is a passage that really shows us and gives us clear example of how to live out the faith that we have, in a way. So let me just read for us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, and I'll go until 18. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees the brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. I think this is a very profound statement, something that we don't really think about a lot because we are so individualistic. There's a book I'm reading. I'm getting discipled by my pastor, and we are reading a book called Connecting Church 2.0 together. And it's really talking about why everyone feels so disconnected in our day and age, and how individualism has become such a large thing, a large part of our culture, something that a lot of people strive for and is held up as a virtue. But in fact, it might actually be detrimental. And I think this passage here is a example of why individualistic thinking overly individualistic thinking could be detrimental to a Christian and to our ability to obey the commandments that God gives us. Here, it's very simple, right? We should love our brothers. And just for context, I believe when John uses the term brother, it's talking about a fellow believer, maybe even like a church member, somebody that you would consider a brother. So church membership, I think this is not to get off on a tangent, but I think this is one of those passages that show why it is important to be a member of your church, because outside of membership, it's difficult to obey some of the commandments that is in the Bible. But as a member, it's clear distinction who is within and without of the church. So who is a brother? I would consider my church members a brother. So I guess that's a topic for another time. But if you are not a member of your church for whatever reason, I would say you should pray about it for sure, and you should strongly consider it. But yeah, John is saying, love your brother, and the way that you love them is the way that Jesus loved us, by laying his life down for us. So we are called to lay down our lives for our others. So this love that we show to our fellow believers should be sacrificial, and it should be a fulfillment of need that the brother has. So I think the straightforward interpretation of this for our context could be, if you know somebody within your church who, I don't know, recently got laid off. I know the economy right now isn't that great in terms of like tech jobs and stuff like that. So you might know people who've been recently laid off and having a difficult time finding a job. So there might actually be financial need that you, if you are fortunate enough, can fulfill for these people. But I would say something radical that some people might take offense to. I think the Bible here is actually saying, don't just give out of excess, but the love should look sacrificial, right? It should be sacrificial. So, because you're supposed to lay down your lives for your brother. So it might even look like, I really wanted to buy, I don't know, this PlayStation 5 or whatever it may be for Christmas, but I'm gonna sacrifice that for myself so that I can help somebody who's in actual need, right? Maybe they're about to miss their rent payment or they can't pay their bills. It's a silly example, a PlayStation 5, but whatever it may be, right? And if you're listening to this kind of in the area that I'm in, we're all super blessed in the, especially in the global sense, we're rich. We're so rich, right? So the sacrifice might seem silly, but one other interpretation or an application to this sacrificial love could be in relationship, right? I think we all know in this social media age, depression, anxiety, all those things are up, people feeling isolated, people feeling disconnected. So maybe your fulfillment of a brother's need is relationship, you know, sacrificing your own time, sacrificing time that you might reserve for, you know, doing something for yourself, maybe sleep. Maybe you wake up early and you meet with a brother to form a relationship so that brother's need for relationship can be fulfilled. I think discipling of one another within the church is sorely lacking from what I've observed in kind of the Korean American church in Atlanta. And obviously I don't know all the churches in Atlanta. So this is from my very limited observation, but maybe that's a need that somebody has. Maybe you know a brother who needs to be discipled, right? And we're all called to disciple anyways, right? So maybe your sacrifice can be, I'll, you know, wake up an hour earlier than I normally would so that I can go to a coffee shop and meet this brother once a week. something very simple, something that you might not have thought about, but I think that could be what loving another brother looks like for you. So there's a lot of different applications, I think, that you can derive from this passage. But the principle here is love your brothers, you know, sacrificially. And that is a sign that your faith is healthy and good. If you are in a place where you can't love your brother and you kind of just do whatever you want to do, and neglecting the people of your church, then I would say it merits a double check. It merits you looking at your faith and really thinking about who your faith is in. Because I think, it's a very bold statement that John is making, that if we don't love, if we hate a brother, it's murder, and a murderer does not have eternal life. They're not abiding in him. I mean, these are really bold, straightforward statements. Let's, in our journey to learn more about God, this is something we've learned, that God wants us to love one another sacrificially, and well. So I hope that's encouraging to you guys. And thank you guys for tuning in again. And let's keep reading the Bible together. Bye, guys.